You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Hey everyone, it's Justin Char from Pure Nintendo. I'm stepping in for Matt Paxton, and I'm here with James Higginbotham, and this is our KoopaCast number 90.
That's impressive.
And yeah, it is impressive. We're doing a special KoopaCast to kind of go over some of the Nintendo news that happened today, digest it, and discuss it, and see what it means for Nintendo in the future. In case you haven't heard, we'll just do a quick recap. James, what did Nintendo talk about today?
Well, the first thing that it's actually, we have new breaking news.
Oh.
That Nintendo has announced that they're selling a majority share of the Seattle Mariners.
Ah, interesting.
So they're going to sell, I think they own 55, so they're going down to 10%, according to the article I read.
Ah. Huh.
So they can make almost like $700 million probably on that sale, so that's more money for them, I guess.
Yeah, that is interesting. I bet it is probably related to all this, the quarterly earnings and everything from Japan.
I think, what was it, 92? I think this article says it was purchased.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost their whole life that they've owned.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
And they haven't won a World Series.
No. That's gone. Now they will. No.
They'll do it. That's crazy. Yeah, some of the other highlights. Let's see. So Nintendo announced they're not going to be at E3. It's one of the big, well, not, well, they're going to be at E3, Justin. Come on. But they're only going to have one playable game at E3, and that is the new Zelda game, but apparently only the Wii U version. Also, in the news today, they confirmed that Zelda is going to launch on the Wii U and the NX simultaneously. And they also announced that the NX is going to be coming out in March 2017 globally. So that means that Zelda on the Wii U is hence delayed to March 2017, which I'm sure was a big bummer for most Wii U fans. Those people that have bought the system that are waiting for it, you know, now have to wait, and they'll get it at the same time as potentially someone that buys an NX on launch day.
It's Twilight Princess all over again.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And we know how that turned out. I mean, I bought Twilight Princess on the Wii. James, did you buy it on the GameCube or the Wii?
I bought it on the Wii.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people that did buy it on the GameCube and enjoyed the non-motion control version of Twilight Princess. But I don't know. I do think that the NX version is just destined to be better, regardless. So I do think that version is going to do the best in the end. But
have we seen, I wonder if it's, it may not even be out yet, the floor plans for E3 and what's Nintendo's boost footprint? Like, is it a similar size? Are they just going to have like 30 kiosks of Zelda, or are they just going to be little meeting rooms or what or something?
Yeah, that's a good question. It seemed like there were some E3 floor plans recently that someone was digging up because some of the big publishers aren't going to be there, right?
Like, oh, that's true. You're right.
And I think I remember seeing some floor plans of that. I think it's the South Hall where Activision, EA, most of the third-party publishers usually are. And I think Activision was missing from that. I thought there was another big one. Is EA skipping it too?
don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was. Because I know Ubisoft is supposed to be there. But, I don't know. It does bring up the question of, how relevant is E3 still? Now, granted, that might be a silly question. People are probably like, it doesn't matter if Nintendo's there. Sony, Microsoft, and all the other, most of the major other companies are going to be there and still relevant. And just because Nintendo only has Zelda as their only playable game doesn't mean they're going to, they're not going to be talking about NX, developers and, people in the industry. I mean, E3 is still a industry only event, a business event. So, you'd think that Nintendo would be talking to publishers there at the show, potentially about the NX if they haven't already.
Yeah, it's going to be there, but we may not see it. Oh, we won't see it.
Yeah, I do think that a lot of people are jumping to some conclusions too. They're like, okay, Zelda's going to be the only playable game, but people are assuming it's going to be the only game that they show at E3. And I think that's incorrect. I think just because it's the only playable game, I do think we'll see some sort of a digital event, like Nintendo's done in the past, where they're going to show trailers for, Paper Mario Color Splash, Federation Force, Pokemon Sun and Moon, stuff like that. But they just won't be playable there. And I think we'll still get some sort of a Nintendo Direct type of a thing. Now, what all content will be in there, they've said they're not going to have NX information at E3, but, does that mean they're, not going to talk about it in a digital event? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think they'll talk about it at all. And that leads to my question is, when are they going to talk about it? Because June is, 9 months from launch? And I doubt to talk about it in July, because I'll just be weird. Be like, we're not going to talk about it at E3, but we're talking about it 3 weeks later.
Yeah, 3 weeks later.
So August, possibly the earliest to talk about it, which would be 7 months, which is, to us, seems close.
Yeah. But I know. And it's just strange because, I don't know, we think of, if you're talking about something at E3, and it's coming out in the holidays, that's already pretty close, right?
Yeah. I think the closest we've seen was the 3DS. They talked about it at E3 and released it in March of that next year.
Right. Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a good thought there, James, because that's pretty much what we're seeing here with the NX, only they said since they're not talking about it, it's going to be a little different. Because the 3DS, didn't they reveal in March the year before with some sort of like a PDF. Do you remember that?
They just said it was 3D, without glasses. That was,
They're like, we're going to release a glasses-free 3D morpho E3 or something like that. Because there was some, I think Nikkei Index or, whatever the Japanese publication was going to publish something about it. So that's what we're doing. Here you go. And they were just kind of getting ahead of it, I guess. But what's crazy is we don't even know. I mean, we've had a bunch of NX rumors, but there hasn't been anything substantial or anything that's been corroborated to where Nintendo has to, forces their hand to announce something.
Yeah, I wonder, to tie in probably 3 hours worth of our conversation we had earlier, you think that's part of, because there's also the rumor where Nintendo has a strong first party. Do you think they're focusing on the first party because they don't want to show their hand? Like they did with the Wii U, like we talked about the Wii U when they announced the gamepad. Microsoft came out with the Surface to play with games. They don't want to tell people what they're exactly doing until the very last minute.
Yeah, I think that's got to be part of it because, people are always like, oh, Nintendo, always comes out with these gimmicks and they never amount to anything there's not much, benefit to it. But if there's not much benefit to it, why would the competition always copy it?
Exactly.
Nintendo pushes the industry more so than Microsoft and Sony. Microsoft and Sony are just kind of sitting in the background, and it seems like they make decisions quicker, mm-hmm. They're more reactionary to what's happening. But I don't know, I feel like Sony and Microsoft are content just to keep the status quo, whereas Nintendo is the only one kind of pushing things. Now, granted, that can be a good or bad thing. Some people may say that you know, oh, we don't need all these changes. Just do a standard controller, grease the graphics. That's all gamers want. Just do that, you know. And, you know, maybe that's good enough, and maybe they're going to that type of an approach for NX. I don't know. I sent an article to James earlier for everyone watching, but it was an article from Tom's Hardware, and they do a bunch of articles on, you know, PC gaming hardware and things like that. But they had an interesting article about the NX, and specifically, you know, this announcement and the timing of the NX releasing March of next year. And they were kind of, you know, hypothesizing that the NX might have the new AMD Polaris chips. Well, I think it's Polaris, or what's the other name they have for it? The Zen-based APU, based on the 14-nanometer process. Anyways, this has kind of been a rumor for those that haven't been keeping up with the NX rumor mill. There's been a rumor that Nintendo's really, you know, quote, focusing on graphics this time, and they're using, you know, high-end chipsets in the NX, and that one of the reasons for this delay is potentially because, you know, they're waiting on manufacturing for those chips to kind of be more in line with their production run of the NX. So AMD's kind of been saying, hey, we're going to release them by second quarter of this year, which wouldn't give Nintendo a whole lot of time to produce NX systems for the fall. So Tom's Hardware was kind of speculating, hey, maybe this is a good time, you know, for Nintendo to kind of adopt that. And that's why there's that, you know, 3 or 4 month delay in the March, because they're really wanting to make sure that they have something, you know, kind of future proof from the get go. I don't know. What do you think about that, Dan?
I guess we need to. Well, I would like to preference everything I'm about to say, because I know people sitting there like, well, this is weird. This isn't Nintendo. We got to remember, this isn't the Nintendo that we grew up with the last 14 years. Sadly, Mr. Iwata is no more the president. And we have a new president with probably a different philosophy. So we may be seeing things change in Nintendo's culture as we got used to the last 14 years. And so this may be part of that change of culture and shift into, who's the new president's name? He just slipped my mind.
Tatsumi Kimishima.
Yeah. So Mr. Tatsumi, his vision of what he wants Nintendo to be, which he has every right to change it, even though we may not like it at first. But he's going to do what he thinks is best for Nintendo and gamers. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I forgot what I was going to say to that. We were talking about chipsets.
Yeah.
I believe in that rumor, because in the sense that I think Nintendo realizes that they can't gimmick their way through this next console. Like, yeah, the Wii U's failure wasn't necessarily the Wii U or the games, the lack of games on them. I think they had some of the best Nintendo games of any generation.
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of people would agree with that.
I think the problem was they fell short on the gamepad and the use of the gamepad and the justification of the gamepad. Mm-hmm. And so I think they realized that in the Wii control, they just got lucky, basically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Lightning struck, and it. yeah, and with the gamepad, I mean, you're right. I mean, think of it at the beginning. I mean, Ubisoft was actually the real driving force behind, you know, most of the gamepad features. I mean, you look at Rayman Legends. I mean, Rayman Legends uses the gamepad better than probably most Nintendo first party games. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, to Nintendo's credit, I think Nintendo allowed that to happen, you know, maybe intentionally to try and give third parties that leg up on the system, because they've been criticized, I mean, ever since the GameCube era or even before, for kind of not promoting third party content or not doing enough to ensure third party success. And I don't know, I felt like they gave third parties a chance on both the 3DS and the Wii U. I mean, the 3DS launched with some pretty paltry first-party support. I mean, what was it? Like Pilot Wings Resort and I don't remember the other game.
The 3DS?
Yeah, the 3DS launch.
Or came out. What was the launch? What? Street Fighter 4.
Oh, yeah, Street Fighter 4. And then they came out with, like, Ocarina of Time 3D, like, a couple months later, I remember. But, yeah, like, it was mostly third parties there at launch. Mm-hmm. And then the 3DS didn't really, you know, even pick up steam until they dropped the price. And they released Mario Kart 7 and Mario 3D Land. And then it was, like, you know, started selling, like, gangbusters. But, but I felt like the Wii U is very similar. The Wii U had a bunch of third parties at launch. And, you know, Nintendo had Nintendo Land and then another 2D Mario game. Wasn't really like, you know, Nintendo Land's still a good game on the Wii U, but I wouldn't consider it like one of its masterpieces or, you know, shining moments on the system. But I feel like they gave third parties a chance and then they're like, okay, we're not seeing, you know, the results we really want to see from third parties. And most third parties were delaying things. And it was just, I don't know, I think it ended up being a mess and Nintendo had to play, you know, way more catch-up than they should have. But yeah, maybe with the NX, they're like, okay, we need good first-party games at launch, but at the same time, we need something to be, we need the system to be easy to develop for so we can have, you know, third-party support there. There was a really good post I read. I think it was a developer on NeoGAF. He was giving just a perspective about how the March timeframe makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Because just even for game developers, if you look at the Wii U launch, when they were launching games for the Wii U, a lot of them delayed it till 2013, some of their games, because they were trying to get the games in the next fiscal year, into the next calendar year for their business. And March lines up better with Nintendo's fiscal year and a bunch of other fiscal years of other third-party companies that end on March 31st. So potentially having that March launch is a better advantage because it just works out better for developer timelines.
Yeah, start of fiscal years.
Yeah.
End of fiscal year, I guess, 31st.
Yeah, the fiscal year. So
yeah.
Anyway, so now he gave some more context to that too, and I don't know all of the, you know, business jargon and lingo for it, but it made sense to me at least, and you know, and I think, you know, most of us Nintendo fans are just trying to make sense of it a little bit, you know, because a lot of us are, you know, admittedly disappointed that we have to wait longer for Zelda. Granted, we didn't have a release time frame for the NX until now. But I think most of us were probably wanting it to be the end of the year, since we could see the Wii U pace of software kind of slowing. And now that it's March next year, I mean, we have to wait essentially 11 months, you know, for some big heavy hitters. So
I guess two questions is, I guess the first one is if Nintendo is going to have a large software lineup for the NX launch, let's say, just throw some titles out there. They have a big 3D Mario game, Metroid title, another Pikmin game, just some good games to get people excited. Do they need Zelda there? Would it have been more beneficiary to have Zelda come out November this year?
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Like to me, I mean, we still don't know a whole lot about the Zelda game. To me, I would have liked to see Zelda launch in November of this year. Like still go out on a high with the Wii U. Because I think they honestly could have sold a lot of Wii U's this holiday with Zelda there. I mean, even with the NX launch looming. Because people want to play, I mean, people buy systems to play games, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Even if a new system, a new and better system comes out 3 months from now, I would gladly buy the system to play Zelda, you know, 4 months early, 5 months early, and then just, you know, sell the Wii U or whatever else and get the new version then. But I think they would have gotten a lot of people, you know, buying into that. And then, of course, you already have the people that own Wii U's currently that kind of feel a little slighted now that, you know, anyone walking off the street in March can pick up the same game they've been waiting almost 5 years for, you know.
I guess my next question, all of that, because it's a good segue, because you said people buying systems for a game.
Yeah.
Do you, this is a little, I guess, devil's advocate, thinking that from a business point of view, would it be business-wise for Nintendo to kind of anger a lot of the fans, but they would still come around and say, oh, no, the next Zelda game's an NX exclusive? Because that would get people to be like, oh, if I want to play the Zelda game, I'll have to get NX. I can still see some people still waiting, dragging their feet on the NX, and just getting Zelda for the Wii U and playing that to see what NX is going to do. But this releasing the NX just on, I mean, Zelda just on the NX could force people to go, well, if I want to play Zelda, I'm going to have to buy this NX device.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I mean, that would almost be a smart tactic because, yeah, I don't know if they'll do it exclusive. I mean, it sounds like they're committed to.
Oh, they are. But I mean,
if, you know, put it on Wii U. But yeah, I get your point. Like that would make sense. And I do think that people would buy into that still, even if they were sliding at first. Because like you said, people are just going to, you know, may just buy the Wii U and not even, you know, do anything with the NX. Like, there are people that just wanted the Wii U for Zelda, and that's it. And if they can pay $250 or whatever the discounted price is around the holiday for a Wii U and Zelda instead of buying a $300 new console, you know. Sorry, what were you saying?
Well, I was going off of Nintendo's change of philosophy, because Nintendo is always a company that cares about its users and players more than, I guess you can say, making money, even though each company likes to make money. But I guess the smart business decision would be to, I guess, kind of screw over fans and release it on the NX and make us be like, oh, well, I guess we have to go buy the NX if we want to play it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that may be the best thing for the game, too. I mean, let's assume that Nintendo is using some sort of new architecture, right, with the NX. Let's assume that they're using this new AMD chip. Let's assume they're going x86 to make porting games easier for developers. Because right now the Wii U is, you know, kind of a hard thing to develop for. Since Xbox One and PS4 are on the same architecture now, I'm pretty sure, at least I know PS4 went x86. Did Xbox One go x86 too?
I think so.
The Xbox 360, I know, was like a 3-core IBM thing, which is kind of what the Wii U is right now. But yeah, so let's assume that Nintendo's doing that. They have this new architecture. So let's say they've been working on Zelda for, let's say, 4 years, right? Three years or so. Let's say for two of those, they've been working on, hey, let's make a port for the NX. And if it's on this other architecture, granted, you know, they could probably make the porting process, develop process a little easier since they're Nintendo. But so let's assume they've been developing that. In your scenario, James, it might have been easier and better for them just to push it all the way to the NX exclusively. Then you're not having to develop two separate, you know, games on two separate architectures, essentially. And let's say that the NX doesn't have a whole lot in common with the Wii U, like as far as having a controller with a screen and all of that. I mean, potentially the Wii U version has some features on the NX version. I mean, if there is no controller with a screen to manage inventory and all that stuff. So I don't know. Potentially, you're creating a scenario like Twilight Princess, where you're creating these feature exclusive versions, you know. Granted, with Twilight Princess, there's not a whole lot different between the core game. I mean, you've got, you know, some basic motion stuff in the Wii version, and you know, some controls, and then they flipped the layout of the map in both versions. But I could see if they're doing different architectures for the NX, they don't have a similar controller with a screen in it, then potentially, you know, you have some big feature differences between the two. And if the NX is that much more powerful, potentially the game could just look a lot better on NX, and it would, you know, almost, I don't know, like people, I could see people just choosing the NX version, you know, over the Wii U, you know, five times more than they would the Wii version over the GameCube version of Twilight Princess.
Well, that's and the thing is, yeah. I think the NX version, there's a good chance will look better, but it's still going to be a dumbed down version of what it could have been if it was a NX exclusive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because there's going to be stuff that's, you know, maybe holding it back because they wanted the engine to work on both of them. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, if you look at all the cross-gen games that we've gotten this generation, you know, Assassin's Creed games or, you know, all of that stuff, they're not fully optimized for the new hardware. You know, they're still running an old engine, so it can run on the old systems, but basically they just tweaked the resolution or some textures and, you know, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how they handle it. I don't know how I would handle it if I was Nintendo. It's not an easy position to be in, I'm sure.
No, but it probably would be something kind of like Twilight Princess remake. Like it looks better than the original, but you can still tell that it was an older game because unless you build it from the ground up, it's still going to have the residual from the old game. Same thing is, it's still going to look like a Wii U game with just better textures.
Yeah, and I hope that's, yeah. It's like, I want this Zelda game to be the best Zelda game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if push came to shove and they're like, hey, we're making an NX exclusive, you know, I would hope fans would understand, like, you know, that's probably best for the game in the long run. But, now, granted, we're making a lot of assumptions, obviously, on what the NX is or could be. And maybe the NX has more in line with the Wii than we think. Or, you know, as has been rumored, you know, maybe there's a new handheld that's coming out eventually. And maybe you get some of that second screen functionality of the Wii U, you know, by having the handheld paired with whatever the new console is. You know, and then maybe you get some of that functionality of off TV play or inventory map and all that stuff on a second screen. But I don't know. Like, I feel like that concept isn't quite dead with Nintendo. I feel like a lot of people like the off TV play of the gamepad. It's not revolutionary necessarily. But I hope that the NX is just kind of has some sort of evolution of that. It's not the main feature of the NX. You know, I'd like it to be, you know, visually and, you know, graphically capable, but if it had some option to have like off TV play or to take it completely on the go with a handheld, so you could potentially have the new Zelda and play it wherever you are. I mean, that could be a compelling experience. So.
And just a little side note, I looked up the floor plans for E3.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they're not finalized yet. But Nintendo does have a similar size booth as they normally do.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they had to buy that like a year in advance, so that could possibly shrink. Well, that probably will shrink. And then also, it's Disney Interactive, Wargaming.net, Activision Blizzard, and EA have all pulled out from the show floor, and Nintendo basically.
Wow. So yeah, EA, Activision, Blizzard? Oh, wait, Activision is Blizzard.
Yeah. And Disney Interactive.
Interesting. So yeah, it's going to be a very weird year for E3. I mean, E3's had weird years in the past for sure. but yeah, it just seems like it's going to be pretty strange. I don't know. And we still don't know a lot of Nintendo's plans. And, you know, just for those that are watching, there are some Q&A sessions, I think, that are supposed to be going on tonight, right, James, in Japan?
Yeah.
So there's potentially still some more information, hopefully maybe some more clarification over some of the stuff that Nintendo released last night. Because essentially there wasn't really any Q&A last night, from what I gather. The Q&A is happening soon in Japan or something like that, where the investors and potentially the media can ask some questions. Or maybe it happened last night and they're just translating it. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. There's supposed to be some new information coming out tonight, in an hour or two or something like that. I was looking online.
Looks like it's out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Come on, I think yesterday was just the information release, and then he talks about it today.
Okay. So that potentially we'll get some more context to these announcements from Nintendo, especially on the E3 front. The fact that, you know, they're only going to have one game playable, you know, is there still going to be a digital event? Nintendo usually announces that sort of stuff a month before E3. And since E3 is kind of middle of June, I'm expecting to see, you know, some sort of announcement of their final E3 plans, you know, whether it's a digital event or whatever, announced by mid-May, I would say. I guess we didn't talk about the other thing. They did announce two new mobile games.
Yes.
They announced that Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing, there are some mobile games that are coming out later this year. So those will be the first Nintendo IP full games that will be on mobile. So that's going to be interesting. What did you think of their choice of IP to use there?
I think it's exactly what they should have done. Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what those fans, Animal Crossing fans, would want.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, besides a actual Mario game, that's pretty much the second best choice they could have made.
Yeah, I agree.
Pokemon too, but we have Pokemon Go, so that we already have that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Pokemon, Animal Crossing, they're perfect for mobile. Especially, like, some of the new games that came out on 3DS, like Happy Home Designer, that seems like right at home on a mobile device to me. New Animal Crossing game, I think that's perfect for mobile. It can kind of continuously evolve. To me, like an Animal Crossing game, granted, they have their discrete features that they've introduced in each version of Animal Crossing that's come out, but they're not really like sequels or, you know, it's really like, hey, this is a new experience. You're a mayor. Now you're doing this. So now you can go visit people. They've kind of evolved it over the years. But now with mobile, I mean, potentially you could have just an Animal Crossing game and that's where it lives forever and always, potentially. They just keep updating the features on there, adding new stuff to decorate your homes with, you know, adding the ability to create your own towns and, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff they could do.
That's an interesting thought. Like, do you think that they really do that? Like, take Animal Crossing and take other games off of their mobile 3DS, whatever the next one is, and then make them phone only? Like, if they did this, like you're saying, which would make a lot of sense, would we ever see an Animal Crossing on a Nintendo handheld device again? Would we need to?
Yeah, I don't know that you would need to, really. Now, granted, it really depends on how much we believe Nintendo, right? Nintendo keeps saying, like, oh, we're going to make games that are full experiences, right? Mm-hmm. But then it seems like sometimes they're like, oh, we're going to make something on mobile that points people to our other devices, right? So maybe it's like a small Animal Crossing mini game that, you know, they have to unlock the full experience by getting the new handheld Animal Crossing or whatever. But I don't know. To me, it might make more sense for the franchise, depending on the franchises they use to move over to mobile. Like, Animal Crossing may just make more sense on mobile.
It makes more sense for, like, in-game purchases.
Yeah.
Nintendo hasn't figured out that system on their own devices or OSs, but on the mobile device. Like, do you pronounce it Mitmo or Mitmo?
Mitomo. I say Mitomo.
Mitomo, that works too. Like, on Mitomo, you can quickly buy more coins with Apple Pay or Google Pay with a push of a button, and they don't really have that feature on a 3DS or Wii U per se. They have paid DLC, but it's cumbersome. It's not just spur of the moment, like, I've almost spent $25 on the game because I was just like, I want more coins, but then I'm like, eh. But I know people have, because it's literally, if you have your Google iPhone connected to your credit card, it's just a click of a button. And so Something like Amazon plan, like, hey, we've got new wallpaper, new carpets or whatever for $3. And people will go, yep, $3 here.
Yeah. Well, think about that Nintendo Badge Arcade that came out not that long ago, or at least it came out a while ago in Japan. But, I mean, that's making a lot of money, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed like they had over 1 million users of it or something like that. I saw, like, a couple months ago. And I don't know how much, you know, that translates into actual in-app purchases and sales from it. But it's a free-to-download thing, and you get, like, some free plays to get these little badges. But I guarantee you people are paying, like, oh, it's a dollar here. Sure, I'll do it, you know, because I want to get all the set of this, you know, Zelda badge set or whatever. But I mean, that could be super lucrative on, you know, the Animal Crossing franchise. Probably they could probably make more money, you know, through that. Now, granted, I don't necessarily want Nintendo to go this whole freemium, you know, app route, and I hope they don't do it with certain franchises. But I mean, some franchises it just kind of works. You know? I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess. I know some Animal Crossing fans may hate that because they get a ton of content, you know, for $30 or $40 right now. I mean, some people play, you know, 200, 300 hours in Animal Crossing. So, you know, right now they're getting a lot of bang for their buck, and they may not like that kind of a switch, you know, to kind of everything in-app purchase. And,
you know. I guess you can still can, like, Mitomo, or whatever you want to pronounce it, they can just release different types of designs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they just released the clothing, the ninja clothing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, some Splatoon clothing or something.
Splatoon clothing, yeah. Those are more, Splatoon clothing, those are more for the drop game, but people probably, the drop game's pretty hard. I don't know if you played the Splatoon 1 yet.
I haven't played it.
It's crazy difficult. So yes. you probably have to dump in some coins and real money to get everything. But in a sense like that, they can have a full Animal Crossing game and then release special Mario wallpaper or Splatoon wallpaper or something to advance the game, and people have to go and spend 99 cents to get that wallpaper or something like that.
All right. That could be, yeah, it could be really interesting. I mean, some of that. And like Fire Emblem, I think, is another good franchise for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the most recent Fire Emblem was fantastic. Probably the best Fire Emblem I've played. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think that Fire Emblem can still live on a console or a handheld. Mm-hmm. I don't think it, you know, needs to move to mobile by any means. But I think it could definitely, you know, add some value to it. I do kind of wonder if what do you think of this idea, James? What if the NX is like a platform, right? It's like Android or it's like iOS, right? It's some sort of software platform, and they're going to have various pieces of hardware to play games on, right? Mm-hmm. But potentially, you could play NX games on your computer, or, you know, all this different type of stuff. So, what if on a mobile device, Nintendo made it so that it was like essentially just streaming your game to your mobile device from some NX hardware, right? Then potentially, you get the benefits of mobile while also getting people to buy your games on your systems, and then potentially buying those systems, you know. I don't know how they would accomplish that necessarily, but if they could do something kind of like On Live or Gaikai, where it was some sort of a cloud-based service where you could play that stuff anywhere, you know, kind of on any device, then they also have the Nintendo devices as well, but I don't know, potentially they could make something really big. I don't know how they would even accomplish that. I'm just
I like that. I don't know if it necessarily needs to be fully cloud based, because the PS4 you can stream.
Yeah.
As long as your PS4 is on and connected to internet, I think you can still use I think they got this working. You can use the Vita to stream games from your PS4.
Yeah.
So that you can have a sense, especially everyone, majority of people now have internet, high speed internet. And it's going to be growing even more these next 5 years.
Yep.
To just have like, it all has to be like a little box.
Yeah.
And then it runs everything from that box. And then you can either they can release a tablet-like device where you can be sitting upstairs, play your games. You can stream it through Wi-Fi, your phone's connected to Wi-Fi and all that, and it streams straight to your box, and the box is doing all the work.
Yeah, because I think Nintendo said NX is going to have a new concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, a concept, I mean, that's a very nebulous word. I mean, a concept mm-hmm. could just be a new way of not only playing games, but distributing games, or, you know, mm-hmm. like basically almost like reinventing what a video game console is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and potentially that's what the NX could be. It could be something like the Steam Link, or, mm-hmm. you know, something that kind of is now the Steam Link is just piggybacking off your computer, doing all the, calculations and stuff and streaming it to your TV, but potentially the NX could be connected to your TV, doing all the calculations, and then you can connect from anywhere to it. And very similar to PS4's remote play.
Mm-hmm.
So now, granted, they're saying new concept. It doesn't necessarily have to be a brand new concept. You know, it could just be new to Nintendo. And maybe Nintendo has a unique twist on it. I don't know.
Actually, I really like the idea because Nintendo with the Wii, they were really focused. Well, with the GameCube, they were focused on portability, taking the fun with you.
Uh-huh.
With the Wii, they were focused on like family playing or group playing.
Yeah.
With the Wii U, they wanted it to be the center of your entertainment world, basically.
Uh-huh.
So it's all leading to this box, which everything would work off of this box. The box would be your center of. You can connect maybe a computer to it, a new gamepad type device, your 3DS, your mobile phone, but it all comes back to the center device that's the main focus of everything.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they could do something really cool with that. And like potentially the handheld could be a lot cheaper, you know, if it was something that was.
Because it would just become a wireless device, basically.
Yeah. If it's piggybacking off something else, I mean, this is still very all hypothetical and probably not.
Holding come out with a nice like HD gamepad.
Yeah.
Kind of like a gamepad, but a newer version that you can sit here with like a 9-inch screen or whatever they want to make it, 6-inch screen.
Uh-huh.
You can sit across your house and be playing the game if you wanted to.
Yeah. Because still some of the Wii U stuff is very cool. I mean, it's mm-hmm. still cool tech. But you know, maybe the ease of development was one of the problems, you know, that kind of shot the Wii U in the foot.
This thing, like the gamepad was a good proof of concept, but that's still what it just seems like. It was just a proof of concept.
Yeah,
like it could have been. It should be a lot more. You know, and it could be now with the NX or whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. What's gonna happen? I know we get some like little tidbits of Nintendo news, and it just raises more questions than answers right now.
Something interesting, which is a little bit different for Nintendo,
uh-huh.
is the Japanese magazine Nike.
Nike or something.
Is saying that Nintendo will share NX price features and specs this year, which we know they're going to announce more this year, but I think it's interesting that they may actually talk about price and specs, because normally Nintendo only talks about price like a month before. Like it's like August for a November release, I guess it's 2 months.
Yes.
But specs, Nintendo never talks about specs.
I know, yeah. Nintendo never mentions specs. I mean, even.
So that makes me think that they have something to show off.
Yeah. Hmm.
Because they would only talk about it if it was good for them to talk about it.
Right. You know, I do wonder if Nintendo is going to do something at Tokyo Game Show this year, you know, because this is a very different Nintendo. You know, potentially they show off something there, or maybe they, you know, people have obviously been saying, you know, oh, Nintendo should do a Space World event again, you know, like in August, September, like they used to do. You know, I could see them just doing like a digital event, you know, or a Nintendo Direct focusing on the NX.
I don't know, for years I've been saying that I thought that when they announced the new console that they would go back to maybe not the big press conference, but some type of hands-on conference.
It seems
like a good fit. Like you can't really show off, in my mind, you can't really show off a console through just a video screen.
Yeah.
You need people there to like touch it and hold it.
Yeah, and like see that it's real, and you know. Yeah,
even when the Wii U, was it 2 years before it came out, we had basically the proof of concept. We were able just to at least hold a controller in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And play those tech demos. Well, even with the 3DS, before they even had any games, remember the first thing we touched the 3DS, they had those little trophies, 3D, because they wanted to show us how the 3D worked.
Uh-huh.
Even though they had no game to show off.
Yeah.
They wanted to show how the 3D worked.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That's all they wanted was, all everyone in the media is like, it works, that's all. And that's all they really cared about. So with the NX, they're going to have no, as of right now, they may have no actually physical hands-on.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because it's going against conventional wisdom that you need that feedback on the hardware, you know, that hands-on impression or whatever. But yeah, if they don't have that, I mean, do you think they're just that confident in the NX that they?
No, I don't think they are. I think Nintendo's been beaten down these last couple of years.
You're like, I don't think they're confident at all. They're just trying different stuff.
It's like you and I don't, I guess, going to E3, there's a big difference of watching the trailers through your phone or computer than actually being there and seeing them on a nice full 1080p screen or whatever in real life. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're going to show off all these great games through a compressed video version on our computers, you don't get the full effect of the games unless you have something playing on your HD screen.
Yeah.
Because the Nintendo Direct quality videos aren't the greatest because they're on YouTube, they're compressed.
Yeah.
So you don't have anyone, as of right now, you may not have anyone there that says, oh, this game looks even better in real life. It looks amazing. It plays amazing.
Yeah. I think you need those hands-on things. And now, granted, they'll have some chances for that even after E3. I mean, potentially they could go to PAX. I don't necessarily see them showing off NX at PAX. I would see like a bigger event than PAX almost to show it off. Like almost like just a specific press event even than PAX. But I mean, potentially, you know, they could do something like that. Tokyo Game Show or something else. But I agree that a digital event seems like you would need some sort of a physical thing, but granted, it's never been done before. Nobody's announced a new system yet in the entire game industry without some sort of a press conference, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's an uncharted territory, really.
This is getting taken off the media hat and put it on the Nintendo fan hat.
Yeah.
This is some of my greatest memories, though, of like Miyamoto like holding up the Weibo, or and you know, Iwata pulling up the 3DS off pulling off the table and opening the 3DS shell, and like those are the moments we remember, and they're gone. You can't react that, recreate that in video form. They can try to, but it's not the same as someone on stage of Miyamoto coming out with his Zelda shirt. With a Wiimote in hand, showing off Twilight Princess or whatever.
Uh-huh. I know, yeah. There's just something about those. Some of the digital events have been entertaining and all, but yeah, there's something that you'd miss with not doing a physical press conference or whatever. I don't know. There's some fun and excitement to it, I guess.
Yeah, because the villain of consoles at press conferences is pretty exciting.
Uh-huh.
And you don't really get that at in a stage production as a video. Because it's kind of like, here's a new console.
Yeah.
They can do this. Rotate image.
Yeah. Here's what it looks like. Oh, no, we're not going to show the back of it. Just show before it. So, no, that's it. Yeah. My biggest fear is just that every time we get information, it won't be enough information. You know what I mean? Like when is it going to be, here's everything about the system? You know what I mean? Like, are we literally going to be waiting till like January or February next year before we know the price, or, you know, some of that stuff? Or, you know, I mean, I guess they would have to announce that before December, I would think. But
well, if the Japanese newspaper was right, it'd be this year.
Yeah. But it could be this fiscal year now, you know? like so Nintendo's fiscal year started April 1st.
Yeah.
So their year ends March 31st, 2017. So potentially, you know, it's like, okay, well, NX is coming out this year, you know, like, I don't even know. Now, granted, you know, Nikkei was probably referring to this year as this calendar year, probably. Yeah. And I would hope Nintendo would give more than a three-month buffer for, I don't know. And you feel like December is almost kind of like a wasted month, right? Like, mm-hmm. Why announce anything in December?
Yeah.
And I mean, you've got holidays, most developers, even Nintendo kind of go on hiatus after Christmas. There's like 2 or 3 weeks or something where like Nintendo of America and a lot of that stuff is just kind of like our PR contacts, you know, Nintendo's press company or just kind of PR company is just kind of gone, you know?
So let's narrow it down a little bit. So they're not going to announce it in July because that'll just be stupid.
Yeah.
They won't announce it in December because of holidays.
Yeah.
You can take out half of November because of the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go out of limit and say it won't be August either.
Yeah.
So it's either September, October.
Yeah. I would say September, October are the best bets. Just timing wise, because it's going to match up probably better with their production. So let's say they start going into production with the system. That means it's done, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not tweaking it at all. It would have to go into production at least 5 months in advance, I would say. 5 or 6 months.
So this is a worldwide release.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's the case, I don't know. You've got to be talking about that, you know, at least by September, October. And, you know, if you look at the Wii U, they didn't announce the Wii U price until, I think it was September, wasn't it?
Or maybe it was early September, I think.
Yeah. They did like that special little event. And that was where they announced that Nintendo TV service, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
They also announced that there. Anyways, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, there's obviously some differences. You know, the Wii U is coming out in November. It obviously got shown off at E3 in pretty good detail.
A year and a half before that, almost.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, because they had the previous version of the controller at the E3 before that.
Yeah, they had basically that was a proof of concept.
Yeah, and that's where they had all the demos, and they showed off that original Zelda tech.
Yeah, because the only game they really had ended up being Mario Brothers U, whatever. It was still a tech demo, but actually turned into a real game.
Mm-hmm. Man, so yeah, you got to think it's further along. I mean, if it is really going to stick to that March time frame, yeah. And I don't know. To me, there's not a lot of time to promote it or hype it. But now, granted, like we've said, it's written in Nintendo in the past revealing things too early. I remember even Iwata mentioning that several times that hey, we revealed the Wii U too early, or the 3DS, or, you know, whatever else.
But that could also give some credence to the rumors that Nintendo's using a different chip.
Mm-hmm.
because the dev kits are out there. They may not be as out there as much as the Wii U was at this time or the 3DS was, but it's out there.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm pretty sure you and I would both agree that the original plan for the NX was probably to come out this year, but something delayed it. It could have been feedback from developers saying, this is nice, this is on par. Now, just speculating, this is on par with Xbox One, but don't you want it better? Uh-huh. And it's Nintendo's like, you know what? We do want it better. Let's delay it 6 more months, 5 more months, or whatever,
uh-huh.
and make the console better, make it more powerful. We use this chip that's coming out this year and make the system that people will be excited about, everyone will be excited about, not just Nintendo fans, but just gamers in general, because some gamers just care about specs. And so give them the specs, so make them happy, make Nintendo fans happy. Hopefully you have a system that sells 100 million units again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think Nintendo, I mean, some people are generally biased against Nintendo. I believe that. I believe that people are just not going to, whatever Nintendo announces, however cool it is, they're not going to buy into it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But Nintendo can definitely win back a lot of the gamers out there. You know, if they provide something that has all the games the gamers want, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to the first-party games. Now, some people don't like Nintendo first-party games, and, you know, that's fine. But if it's got the games, and let's say it has the specs, let's say it is, you know, matches the PS4 or a little better or something. I mean, gamers will take notice of that. You know, if there's a third-party game that's released on there that has some better features, or maybe, you know, you can take the game on the go, or, you know, whatever else, whatever new concept it has, if it's compelling enough, people will jump on that, I think. You know, we've been speculating that Nintendo is doing something, you know, Wii U related or, you know, console hybrid, but Nintendo could be doing something completely different. They could be doing, I doubt they're doing virtual reality, but I mean, they could be doing something like that. They could be doing some sort of augmented reality or something just different. I mean, Nintendo's completely different. So they could be doing something like that. The other, did you see that one patent, James, about, it was basically having like 3D content on your TV. Like you basically had these glasses and it was like doing eye tracking and stuff. Basically made any TV have like stuff that pops out and, you know, all this. So it kind of, I guess it's kind of like, it's not quite virtual reality or anything, but, you know, it kind of allows for like 3D, you know, with your TV. I think they were saying like any TV, it just uses these glasses, eye tracking to kind of alter the perspective of what you're seeing on the screen. So it looks like you're looking into the world a little bit more. At least that's the way I understood the patent. I mean, there could be just something like that where it's just like, oh, okay, that's different, but cool, you know. I don't know. Who knows what it is at this point? I wanted Zelda this year, James.
Yeah. No, I... So I'm convinced that something happened that made Nintendo push it back to March. Yeah. Now, why did they have to take Zelda with him? I don't know, but because there is a giant hole from pretty much here until the launch of the NX.
Yeah,
and that's 11 months.
Yeah. One thing about like that Zelda delay, I was seeing people, you know, like they're saying, "Oh, Zelda was delayed because of quality concerns," and I was like, "No, that's not really correct." They basically said it was delayed, you know, to improve quality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's a whole lot different. Basically saying the game's quality, I mean, every game could be in development for eternity, right? Like, if you ask any game developer, they're like, you know, hey, would you like more time to work on your game to make it better? No game developer is going to be like, no, actually, it's as good as it gets right now, you know? Like, of course, every game developer is going to say, yeah, we can actually make it a little bit better. That's the way I interpret it as, you know, hey, it's delayed, it's going to, you know, launch with the NX, and hey, it's just going to improve the quality, you know, that much more, you know, 5 months extra development time.
I think can do wonders, especially when you look at something like Star Fox Zero. You know, they delayed Star Fox Zero about 5 months, right? You know, five, six months, give or take. I think they were wasn't it supposed to be November? Ended up coming out in March. And apparently, from what we've heard, that did wonders for the game. You know, we got to play just the E3 build, but apparently, you know, the things that they reworked, you know, made it, you know, a lot better of the game. So I mean, take with that what you will, but potentially, you know, Zelda could be that much better.
Has a Zelda console game been released that hasn't been delayed? I guess Wind Waker was released.
Yeah, I don't know if Wind Waker was delayed. It probably was. You know, there was one game. Remember Majora's Mask? I remember hearing about Majora's Mask. Like, there was some video, like Tokyo Game Show or something. I remember seeing like some footage for it, and it had like the little thing that showed like the time of day at the bottom of the screen. I was like, man, this is a really weird Zelda game, you know. But I don't remember that one being delayed necessarily, because I think it came out in Japan first, and then they're like, okay, we didn't set a date for America. Here it is. And it was like one of the last 64 titles. Didn't it come out in 2000?
I think so. It was the very end.
In America. And so the GameCube came out a year later. So, I mean, it was one of the, you know, years before GameCube. But it's
going to be interesting. I guess that's the part of me that hurts, I guess, that there really was. We kind of missed out on just this generation Zelda game.
Yeah.
Even Twilight Princess, it came out on the Wii GameCube, but GameCube still had Wind Waker, so it still had its own Zelda game.
Yeah, if anything, GameCube had two unique Zelda games, which is crazy.
Exactly, and then the Wii had the Twilight Princess hybrid, but then Skyward Sword at the end. We're getting just the hybrid. The GameCube the Wii's on getting its own Zelda game.
Yeah, and that's very sad.
Yeah.
It, you know, I mean, Wind Waker HD was great. Twilight Princess HD is fun, but yeah, there's just something, you know, about a new Zelda game. I mean, I don't know, call it nostalgia or whatever, like sitting down and playing a new Zelda game for the first time is just exciting to me. It's one of the few franchises, you know, across all of gaming that I get really excited just to, okay, I want to, you know, close out all distractions. Let's, you know, put the game in. Let's play it, you know. I'm very excited for it.
See, and that's what I don't like about the Zelda game being a launch title, because I want to try out the system and play all these other games. Mm. But like, I didn't really play anything on the Wii until I finished Twilight Princess.
Yeah. I know. Like, when you have a big epic game like that at the beginning of a system, it's like, how do I buy these other games that I'm not going to play them for 2 months? Or...
So that it's honestly probably what's going to end up happening is I'll buy Twilight Princess. I mean, whatever this game's called. And then probably one more game. And that's it until I finish the Zelda game.
Yep.
Because there's no point. There's no point sitting on six games and four.
Yeah. Spending however much money to buy six games at launch and only playing one for the first month.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, going to be interesting. Did we cover most everything?
Yeah,
pretty much.
So much to talk about, though.
I know. Like, and I want to almost do like another KubaCast tomorrow, just to, you know, digest whatever we get from this Q&A. But who knows? If it warrants another KubaCast, we'll do another KubaCast.
Yeah. There was something I wanted. I guess I don't know. We talked about a lot.
Yeah, we talked about Nintendo D3, Zelda, NX getting the release announcement. Hmm.
I'm gonna go through her conversation real quick and see if one of us had a brilliant thing from this morning.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Ah, that's gonna be interesting. This is, I mean, we already knew 2016 was gonna be a weird year for Nintendo. But yeah, it's just turning into like just the doldrums. It's very, seems like it's going to be a slow year, but we'll get some good games.
I guess that's to foreshadow my Let's Talk article in the next issue of Nintendo Magazine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I've been thinking about this a lot, that I mentioned that, well, I guess I'll talk about it here. I guess you asked me to write something about the last Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
And being that it's you, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. But then I realized, wait a minute, what was on the last Nintendo Direct? Did I even watch the last Nintendo Direct? I did. I just forgot what was on it. Uh-huh. And that's the thing, is that to me, Nintendo accepted their losses of what the Wii U was and what's going to be, same thing with the 3DS, all the way back to E3 last year, uh-huh, to that semi-disappointing E3 presentation. Uh-huh. They still have had good games, but they've been holding back their big juggernauts for a reason, for the NX. Uh-huh. Now that the NX is delayed into next year, that's an even longer drought of almost 2 years now that we're not going to have their big hitters. And I don't necessarily blame them. If you think about Galaxy on the Wii, it sold, what, 10 million?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Nintendo released a Galaxy-type Mario game, not necessarily Galaxy, but a big 3D Mario game like Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Now on the Wii U, 2-3 million would be, like, mm-hmm, tops.
Yeah, maybe it gets up to 4 or 5 or something.
Yeah, because I think just looking back at like Splatoon is at,
I think Splatoon's
Mario Kart 8's at 7.5, but that's Mario Kart.
Yeah, Splatoon was I think at 4 or 5.
Yeah, 4-7.
Yeah,
but that's, it's a big difference between.
Yeah, I could see a 3D Mario being like a little less than Mario Kart. I mean, Mario Kart's, yeah, like you said, Mario Kart, but I could see a 3D Mario being like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think it's a big difference.
That's not nearly what they want it to be.
Yeah. And so I don't necessarily blame them for holding things off, but now that the NX, I don't want to say it's delayed because they have announced it for this year, but in our minds it's delayed.
Yeah.
It makes them look bad. Like this whole 2016 is a wash. They just, yeah, basically just punted 2016.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully they can score a touchdown in 2017.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope there's just like a, since they've been so quiet since Iwata's death.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been kind of ridiculous. I mean, maybe it's affecting them more than we know. You know, they're restructuring and, you know, whatever else they're doing. But it just seems like we haven't heard that much. And then to have, like, yeah, 2 years essentially on the Wii U, even on the 3DS, there haven't been, like, some major, you know, like, I think they could have easily done, like, a Mario 3D Land 2 on the, mm-hmm, 3DS easily, and that would have sold a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're holding back. They're working on their new 3D Mario, you know, and they're like, hey, this is going to be on the NX, you know, possibly on the new handheld or, you know, whatever hybrid they're doing, or, you know, making games so they're going to be on a console and a handheld in the future, whatever they're doing. But I don't know. I just hope I hope it's going to be worth it, you know, all of this waiting, that there really are like floodgates that they're going to open up. And, you know, there's just that much content that they've just been holding back and just waiting for the NX to be ready. But
yeah, like just look at the last three titles, like they, Splatoon, Mario Maker, I guess you have Kirby in there too.
Uh-huh.
But Kirby's been working on, I'm not even count Kirby because it's a game they've been working on for like 60 years, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and like Kirby games, I feel like they can whip out pretty quick. I mean, they've had Triple Deluxe on the 3DS, and now they're having this new, you know, Planet Robobot kind of, yeah, built on the same engine. Like, I feel like Kirby's, they can whip up, like, yeah, you know, as soon as they finish one, they're like, hey, start working on the next one.
oh, you guys almost have something pretty much done? Cool, let's do it.
Well, you think of Splatoon was a good game, but it's not necessarily a system seller. It did really well on the system.
Uh-huh.
Mario Maker is the same way. It's kind of like it's a game to appease people who want a new Mario game.
Uh-huh.
You have Star Fox, and let's be honest, they could have done a better job of Star Fox.
Yep.
But, like, why, basically? And you have Kirby Epic, not Kirby, Yoshi's Epic Yarn, which was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But, like, yeah, those are the last four major games, and they're good games, but they're not great games. And I think this is the longest we've went without a great Nintendo game.
Yeah.
And all of us were.
Yeah,
speaking for myself, I always, in the back of my mind, like, oh, this is nice and stuff. I'm just have to wait till November. Well, November's gone now. Now it's like, well, I gotta wait an extra 5 months to March now, 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, like, to me, like, the last big Wii U game was Xenoblade Chronicles X.
I guess, yeah, that way.
But even that wasn't, like, a Nintendo first-party effort. I
mean, no, because that's a cult-following big game, but it's not necessarily a big...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a system seller, you know, like Mario or Mario Kart, but, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with the Q&A, and I guess as they prep for E3 and figure out what they're going to do, and we'll let you guys know what happens.
One quick game I want to play.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced that the Wii U overall had better games than any other Nintendo system. So let's compare it to the Wii.
Uh-huh.
Just overall judgment of 8 and above games, can you think, for the Wii U and 8 and above games for the Wii? Because for the Wii U, you can go Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Xenoblade.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could...
Mario 3D World.
Mario 3D World.
I really like that one. I mean, it's not like a Mario Galaxy, you know, big single player epic, you know, Mario game, but like for what it was, I mean, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. I would put Wonderful 101 up there. Some people may argue that maybe more of a 7 range, but I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
It's still a big hit for the console.
You got 5 there.
Star Fox, no. Sadly.
Oh, Tropical Freeze.
Tropical Freeze is another huge, like...
I love Tropical Freeze. Oh, we didn't mention Mario Maker. That brings us up to 7. And Splatoon gets it for me. I really like Splatoon.
That's 8.
But
you'll think about it. For me, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, and Donkey Kong, those could have been the best on console. Donkey Kong, not as much, but I think it's one of my favorite Mario Karts, period.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite Smashes, period. It's close to Brawl. Mm-hmm. But it could be in. It's one of my favorite Donkey Kongs. So you got 3 top of the top on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's stop at 8 and go to the Wii. I could think of Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, and Normals.
Mm-hmm.
The Conduit Galaxy. Uh-huh. Would you want to count both of them, or just count them as one?
Because
there's the first one, in my opinion.
Yeah, you do just the one. What else was big? I've got my Wii library right here.
Like, there's a lot of good games. Like, the Conduits were good games, but they weren't big hitters.
Yeah. I mean, like, the first Xenoblade Chronicles was good.
It had Epic Mickey, but that's not necessarily a big hitter either. I enjoyed Epic Mickey. Yeah. There was a lot of games that I enjoyed, but they weren't a lot of just amazing games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Like, yeah, the Wii, yeah, to me, I felt like Nintendo was resting on their laurels a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
with the Wii, especially like the last few two or three years of the Wii. They're like, hey, look at all, you know, that we've accomplished with the Wii sales. You know, we've
you know, we've made this awesome console, it's selling so well. You know, I mean, even third parties did fairly well on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, plenty of good, I would say, sales on that end. But yeah, I feel like with the Wii U, I feel like the games are more concentrated. Like there's, I don't know, there's just more saturated content with the Wii U games. And like you said, they're like the best versions of, you know, any of the Mario Karts and all of that. Even the Pikmin, like Pikmin 3.
Yes, Pikmin 3.
Yeah, I think that's the best Pikmin they've made. Just because it's the, I mean, you know, the visuals, the gameplay, like I feel like they perfected, you know, what they did with the first and second one. But.
And you probably know why it is, and it's going to be a little bit ironic. Well, besides the point that it's first HD console, is that they actually had to try really hard,
yeah,
to make up for the push sales and make up for the lack of sales. They weren't, like you're saying, they weren't resting on this, what the Wii was doing. They could just, they said they could spit out anything, it was going to sell 5 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was like, I feel like, yeah, it's more concentrated, it's more developed, or, you know,
so
like,
actually, game wise, we benefited from the Wii U sales, because Nintendo actually had to try really hard to make games that people wanted to buy. So we got really great games.
Mm-hmm.
Take it, it didn't really help them much, but we enjoyed it. That's what,
yeah, exactly. Like I think we will look back on the Wii U as, you know, it was an awesome system. I mean, it's given us some pretty amazing games. And if you judge a system by its games, I think the Wii U is one of the best systems, you know, regardless of sales, because who cares about sales in the end? Mm-hmm. I mean, really, like as gamers, I could care less about sales. Like, it's like, oh, well, the Wii only sold, you know, 15 million in this lifetime. Who cares? It had awesome games, you know? It's like, nobody remembers, like, you know, like Xbox 360, like, oh yeah, it had the best sales. That's why I loved it. Like, no gamer loves a system because it's sold the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think we'll remember it for its games. And like you said, it had some of the best Nintendo games ever.
And that's one of my biggest pet peeves is on social media and comments is people, you don't have to like Nintendo, I don't care. You can bash Nintendo, but when you say, oh, Nintendo sucks with it, and the Wii had no good games. Well, no, it's pretty much the biggest lie in the world.
Yeah.
You can't honestly tell me that you are a hater of anything Mario, Donkey Kong, Pikmin, whatever. Like, there isn't one Nintendo game that Smash Brothers. Everyone loves Smash Brothers. Everyone loves Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Mario games. You can lie to me and say, oh, I hate Mario. That's not true. Everyone loves Mario games.
Yeah. You're lying to yourself, if you.
you may not be a fan of like Mario Tennis, whatever, but the core Mario games, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, my biggest peeve is people that are like, oh, I just wish Nintendo would just go away. Like Nintendo just needs to be done. They're embarrassing themselves, or, you know, what, all of these, like, you know, hyperbole statements, mm-hmm, that people say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you really think that's good for the industry? It's like, I don't care if you don't like Nintendo first party games, but do you think less diverse content is what the industry needs? Sure. Well, it's like the people that are like, hey, we shouldn't have all these systems. Just make them all one system. And it's like, I mean, as soon as you get rid of that competition, you get rid of the company's need to innovate or to do anything different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seems so backwards and, I don't know, like, self-destructive. It's like, if you really care about video games, I mean, I care about the success of the other systems. I don't have the other systems, but I understand the value of them doing well benefits gaming as a whole. I mean, if Sony and Microsoft went away and it was just Nintendo and PC games or whatever, that's not going to help anybody. You know, you need to have that diverse content. I don't know, like, you know, when people
jump to those things where it's like, oh, Nintendo was done, you know, go third party or whatever else. It's like, no, if they're done, they're done. They're not going third party. And that's just kind of a dumb thing anyway, but.
Yeah, wasn't it? Was it Microsoft or Sony CEO saying that the industry needs Nintendo? One of them said that.
Yeah, well, I know Sony, Shu Yoshida, I think is his name. He's like, I've got two Wii U's. And he's like, I think they're super important for the industry. Mm-hmm. I think gamers, you know, you get into this whole console war stuff, and it's just, like I said, self-destructive. It's just salty. It doesn't contribute to anything. You know, we should all want game companies to do well and to make games. Now, granted, some people can be like, well, if they're making stupid decisions, it's their own fault, and, you know, they need to, you know, go out of business if they're making dumb decisions. Well, you know, sure, I guess, but, you know, we should want them to do well, and, you know.
And that's what I see. It's funny is that I don't want to say the millennial generation, because we're technically millennials.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
Kids these days.
I think it's kids, even people even our age, they don't necessarily like change. I think I saw Dan Adelman say it on Twitter recently, because he just came back from PAX East.
Yeah, PAX East.
Yeah. And he was like, all the games I saw were pretty much like fighters or shooters. Like, where's the innovation for games? Like, And when a game comes out that's different, it doesn't do very well. When Nintendo tries to do something different, it doesn't do it very well. They even goes further for other technology. I don't know if it was a Sony phone. Some phone company wants to get rid of the normal 1/4 headphone jack.
Oh, yeah.
And they have this new little port that almost looks like the Thunderbolt on Mac. Kind of similar to that. But they wanted, like, talking about how they want the music and microphone that to replace that jack. So I would go to the comments, and people were like, bashing, that's stupid, that's dumb. And someone finally said, you guys complain about when companies do innovation, but when they do it, you bash them for doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you guys want?
Yeah. You don't really understand what you want. Yeah.
You say companies will innovate, but when someone tries to, you just tell them that they're horrible and dumb.
Yeah. I want the same thing or slightly different.
And it's not just the game industry. It's everywhere. That's nothing against Sony and Microsoft that make amazing games. But it's safe games for the most part. Because even if you take the big franchises like Uncharted or Halo or Gods of War, they don't really sway too far, because they don't want to anger that group of people, those hardcore fans that who say they want change, but they really don't. They want the exact same game that they played 3 years ago.
Yeah. They want their ego stroked.
Yeah, they want the same game, but just prettier. And so I don't blame them for being the same for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Because if they change, if Halo, well, think about Halo, it came out, they came out with an RTS version, Halo Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. No, the game sold with the world, but it sold horrible because it wasn't a Halo shooter. Exactly. So, or Halo ODST, that was a different take on Halo, and they didn't like it because it wasn't Master Chief.
You know, it's funny. Like, yeah, I've heard the comparisons. Like, hey, if you know, Nintendo's great and all, but when you grow up, you get a PlayStation or you get an Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if that's your logic, then does that mean you're kind of old and set in your ways then? And that's why you go for those. You know, I'm going to go with the safe bet. I know exactly what I'm getting here. I think that's a lot of it. I mean, it's a comfortable, you know, option.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and that's fine. I'm not bashing that, but you know, there is always room for growth, and I'm glad there's still companies like Nintendo that are trying things. It doesn't matter if they always succeed, you know, Like you know, most people would say, oh, the Wii was a total failure, blah, blah, blah. You know, why are they even trying still? But that's just terrible logic. I mean, you always got to keep trying something new, you know, push the envelope. You know, that's how we got to this point in the game industry. I mean, it wasn't, you know, people just resting on their, you know, accomplishments from before. I mean, you saw with Atari that kind of led to the original crash that, you know, they kind of let confidence and just oversaturate in the market, you know, get the best of them. You know, you got to mix things up. You got to, you know, introduce new ideas. You almost have to like drag people kicking and screaming to, you know, get anything done. You know, like you said with the mobile phones, you know, unless you change something, you know, people are just going to be stuck with what they've got.
Exactly. People hate change. I always tie Nintendo to Apple because they're similar mindsets and they get similar reactions from people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you either love them or you just totally hate them and think everyone who loves them are kids or morons, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the two main things Apple and Nintendo have in common was an upfront CEO. We had Iwata, they had Steve Jobs, now they have Tim Cook, and we really don't have anyone Nintendo anymore.
Yeah.
Reggie. I guess Reggie would be the first person to come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to innovate and they try to make things different. And people who don't like that change, they just automatically brush it off as stupid.
Yeah.
Even though they're both not perfect companies, but they're both trying at least.
Yeah.
Apple a lot less so recently.
Yeah, they're more evolutionary than revolutionary. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's got to be a little give and take, I guess. And, you know, Nintendo's tried a couple big new concepts with both the Wii and the Wii U. And I know they've alienated a lot of people with both of them, you know. So, you know, you got to balance it a little bit. You know, sometimes all people want is, you know, an upgrade, you know, make the games prettier, better. And, you know, and maybe that's what you give them with a little bit of something, you know, extra. I feel like the 3DS was a great approach because you had an optional 3D feature that was, hey, it was a revolutionary thing, you know, glasses-free 3D, but it's not required, you know.
It's easy to turn off.
Yeah, you know, most people turn it off and, you know, people are fine with that, but they got a new system, a worthwhile successor to the DS that improved the games tremendously, even without the 3D. I think they almost need something like that for the NX, you know, to really get, you know, that general populace of gamers back. You know, that it's like, hey, this is an iterative thing too. Here's a new concept, but, you know, it's not something that's going to hinder or, you know, hinder development of ports or games or things like that, or people and people's enjoyment of the system. But
I think that was Nintendo's two big missteps with the 3DS and Wii U was getting people past their, I'm using the word gimmick, but gimmick not necessarily in a bad way. Yeah. The gimmick of the 3D is I've had that conversation with people after the 3D launch. It's like, well, I don't want to play all my games in 3D. And I go, well, you don't have to. You just turn it off. I turn it off. It's not that big of a deal. Yeah. And it was hard to actually get that through people's heads that, yeah, Nintendo, because all Nintendo was saying 3D, 3D, 3D. But it's like, well, no, it's if you don't want it, you can turn it off. Nintendo didn't really relay that message very well.
No.
Same thing with the Wii U and the gamepad. Everyone's like, I don't want to play the gamepad. I don't do all that. Well, you don't necessarily have to use the gamepad. You can use the Pro Control, which is really nice, or Wii modes or something. The gamepad is comfortable, but you don't have to use it if you don't want to. But Nintendo was all like, gamepad, gamepad, gamepad. And that's people like, I don't want to use a gamepad. I don't want to use 3D. Yeah. And so
it's a good point, James. It's almost like
we never recovered from that, but the 3DS was finally able to recover with that 3D gimmick. People were able to look past it.
Yeah, it almost depends on how, I mean, it's a lot of the marketing, you know, how Nintendo markets the systems to people, but
Like what are they fixating people's attention on?
Mm-hmm.
Is it on that gimmick or that, mm-hmm. you know, unique feature, right? Or is it on, you know, hey, maybe with the NX, what they should focus on is, hey, we want to make playing your games the priority.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a gamer and you love to play your games no matter where you are, you know, maybe that's what they focus on, you know, focus on creating good games, you know, improving their visuals, whatever else, and then, you know, whatever other gimmicks or, you know, new unique features they add to the system are just kind of, you know, bonuses, you know, for the people that want that. I don't know.
That's the thing. If you take the 3D out of the 3DS and the gamepad out of the Wii U, they were both still really great systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I very rarely use 3D anymore on my 3DS because the game itself on the system is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't use the gamepad very much. I like the gamepad for some off-screen play and some interactions, but like I could have, if they didn't have the gamepad, I wouldn't have necessarily missed it. So I've still enjoyed the great game that they came out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Minus Nintendo Land because there's a gamepad, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it all comes down to the content and like, yeah, and as long as Nintendo keeps their focus, you know, what their main features are or whatever they're focusing on, you know, gamers will, you know, will come around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it may take some time, may take that first year to get, I mean, they almost have to re-earn people's trust a little bit, you know, that they aren't, you know, coming up with some new gimmick or something crazy that, you know, traditional gamers are not necessarily scared of, but don't want to invest in something that may not get supported, right? I mean, because think about console gamers. We're a fickle bunch. I mean, we're cheap, for one. We don't want to pay that much for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, like, you've seen some of the complaints about, like, the PS4K. And the Xbox One revision, they're like, no, I will not buy it. I will not support this. Have you seen a lot of that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, and these are like the, you know, the quote hardcore gamers, but even they can realize that there's negatives to splitting the fan base like that, the user base. Now, granted, you know, it sounds like the PS4K isn't really going to split it. It's going to, you know, maybe have some stuff, that little breakout box that the PSVR has might be kind of, you know, some of its processing power might just be included in the PS4K. So you'll be able to play PSVR, you know, in this new PS4K box by default. You know, so like some of that stuff is not necessarily going to be, there's games only for that 4K, like the new 3DS, but, I don't know. It's like, we're such a fickle bunch. We want, you know, certain things a certain way with our consoles. You know, we don't want them to change every 3 years or 2 years. We want them to change every 5 or 6 years. Yeah, we're a fickle bunch to please.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Nintendo can strike that balance.
Exactly. Because I think I've been thinking this for a while that I really hope there isn't that Nintendo gimmick or idea in the next console. Part of me just wishes it was just a console. Because I just convinced myself 10 minutes ago when I was talking about this that if the Wii U didn't have the gamepad, it probably would have sold a lot better. Still probably would have sold like PS4 level, but it could have probably 20, 30 million instead of the 12 or 13, whatever it's at now.
Yeah.
I think because people just got stuck on that gamepad idea and they didn't like it. You just take that, what they didn't like out of it, it's just a good console, great games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a big piece of it. And think about it. If you didn't have the gamepad, how cheap would the system have been?
Or they could have moved the money they spent on the gamepad back into the system and had a better system.
Yeah.
They do.
I mean, potentially you would have had a cheaper system and maybe a you know, more capable system for when they're porting PS4, Xbox One games. Yeah, like I felt like the gamepad was one barrier. I felt like the ease of development was probably another barrier. The fact that it's different architecture, you know, kind of added to third parties' concerns. They're like, hey, we're already investing, you know, all this stuff in making this game. now we have to, you know, port it over to this unique architecture, and we, and you want us to develop these unique features of the gamepad, you know.
And you've only sold 5 million units?
Yeah, I know. Like, it was probably a lot to ask of developers. And, you know, I'm glad that Nintendo tries to push them, you know, because, like I said, you know, we all need pushes, whether we're gamers or they're game developers or publishers, whatever. You know, we need pushes to kind of move things forward. So. Well, I think we've mostly gone over everything. Nintendo will be fine. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they had a few down years.
Mm-hmm.
I think of people yelling at Apple needs to go away because they showed the first loss in like 14 years.
Yeah. I know, it's like people, I feel like people act like Nintendo and Apple are like the big dogs, or not like the big dogs, but they get talked about so much that they feel like they're the, like, people need to be defensive of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, you realize that, like, Samsung's the powerhouse in the cell phone market. They're the, you know, not quote monopoly, but they're the big boy. So it's like, if anything, you're going more with the, I feel like some people are like, oh, I'm going with the crowd if I'm going with Apple, or I'm going with the crowd, you know, with Nintendo, maybe to a lesser extent, but it's like, you do realize that, you know, Apple's just as much an underdog as, you know, LG or, you know, some of these other people. I don't know. I think they just get more flack, both Nintendo and Apple, just for their ideas, just because they're trying to push the envelope. But.
And another thing I get in common between Apple and Nintendo is that they make their own hardware and software.
Yes. Yeah. That's right, James.
The only two companies that do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And to me, that's another reason why we should all be rooting for Nintendo to succeed. Because think about it, we don't have any video game companies that only do video game consoles and games. I mean, since Sega's gone third party, I mean, Microsoft and Sony have their own independent businesses that they're making money off of. So to me, having a company like Nintendo that their sole focus is gaming is hugely important for the industry. You know, just because it's their bread and butter, they live or die on video games. I mean, if we're gamers, we need to be fighting for game companies. You know, Sony and Microsoft, sure, they're game companies. They've got their game divisions, but, you know, they're not living and dying by pushing the envelope or taking risks. I mean, they're just looking to the bottom line. So. Anyways. Well, let us know your thoughts, everybody. Comment on the KoopaCast. Let us know what you think of Nintendo in 2016 and beyond. And thanks for joining us. And we will talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Hey, everyone.